Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, let me see. In the beginning, reality TV was a genre known for screaming matches, villainous judges and contestants who were here to win, not to make friends. But now, reality TV seems to be taking a kinder, gentler turn, does it? I mean, shows like Great British Bake Off and Queer Eye, I have to say, I've never seen either. They have lower stakes, I do believe, but they also have camaraderie and good humour, which was notably absent in early seasons of The X Factor and Big Brother. Little Mix have insisted on aftercare for the contestants on their new show, The Search. There had to be a programme at some stage called The Search, taken straight from some kind of prog rock band. The Search, Part 1, in the land of Poseidon. Anyway, where was I? Sorry. Yes, The Search. And basically, they're talking about the welfare of participants. Seems to be much more forward in producers' minds than in previous years. So is the circus of humiliation a thing of the past, is really what I'm asking here. Well, Owen Cannon is a writer with entertainment.ie who's worked on reality shows in the past as well. And he's with me now to tell me if, I suppose the question I'm asking is, if reality TV has finally changed its ways. Welcome to the programme. Owen, I could go straight in and say, well, has reality TV finally changed its ways? But I mean, are they getting kinder, do you think?
Yes, I think they are. I think the likes of The X Factor, no one's really tuning into them anymore. They've kind of fallen out of favour with people and with ratings and audiences. They're just kind of a bit fed up of them. So I guess reality TV has kind of, it's something of a renaissance, I guess, over the last decade, I think. You know, you've seen Great British Bake Off, the likes of Queer Eye, and, you know, Netflix have like Too Hot to Handle, Love is Blind. Everyone's kind of more interested in kind of a broader sense of the word of reality TV, I guess.
And just tell me something, like, I mean, which I don't know, but when they announced who was on the Great British Bake Off, it was the headlines in the paper. Tell me, why is it so good?
I don't know, you know, when the issue, it swapped from BBC to Channel 4, everyone was a bit apprehensive that the show won't retain that, you know, Great British Bake Off charm, but it absolutely has, and Channel 4 have done an amazing job with it in reality, really. They've gotten, you know, a new presenter this year as well with Matt Lucas on, and it's just, it's really nice and fuzzy and cosy, and it's enjoyable to watch. You know, you can sit down with your gran or your mom, yeah, and not have to worry about someone, you know, walking in, you know, stark naked or something, or, you know, it's just more enjoyable to watch, I think. And people like there's like a connection, I guess, with yeah, people who bake. You know, everyone bakes, even if you're bad, you know, you can bake, but no, not everyone sings.
Okay, so let's get to the point that if it is true, and if this does seem to be more than now, I won't say the new normal in terms of television, that it's not as nasty as it was, what do you think is driving that change?
I think because there's a lot more options out there for people. You know, back in, you know, even 10 years ago, all we had was the box, what was on the channels at the moment. But now there's a new massive new on-demand service where you have Netflix with their own TV shows that have reality shows. You have the likes of, you know, Amazon Prime. Everyone is just kind of, I guess everyone's kind of fighting for a bit more attention at the moment. And, you know, the likes of The X Factor, which is made by ITV or Britain's Got Talent, people are kind of, they're getting a little bit bored of them, I guess. You know, they want something new. You know, The X Factor has been running for years. It's not going to be back, I don't think, until 2022 now at this stage. You know, it's given itself a breather. And maybe by then it might have picked up again. But I think just people are getting a bit bored. And it's also important to have aftercare as well, because, you know, this is why the little mix of stars.
Yeah, I'm going to get into that. But do you think in some ways that the keyboard warriors and the Twitter mobs and the fake news and all that, it's a nice antidote?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, John down the road could get up there and he'd absolutely be terrible at singing. Yeah. And, you know, Twitter is on it like a, you know, like that. But, you know, there's that amount of, I guess they're so brave to be on that show and to get up there. And now with Twitter and Facebook and everyone, like, everyone is a keyboard warrior, and it's a lot of pressure to be putting on people.
Well, then when you were working in reality TV, did you ever get the sense that it could be pretty cruel sometimes?
Yeah, so I worked in London for a few years on reality TV, and I did a few ITV shows myself as like a researcher. And there was a couple shows that we had aftercare, which was brilliant. And we even had ones where we would kind of screen them beforehand. So we'd send them to a psychologist just to make sure that they would be fit and well to be part of the show. And, you know, if someone had like a red flag, we wouldn't let them on the show, which is, you know, which is understanding. And it's also great for them. But Yeah.
But like, hold on a second. What about if one of these shows is recorded and somebody was put into a position where they were red-faced, to say the least, or maybe highly embarrassed, and you thought, well, hold on, it's good television. Did you sit around a table with these people and say, I'll leave it in?
Well, I would definitely wouldn't have that high of a position that day, but but yeah, it was something that the producers would be like, no, we'll let this go and see where it goes. There was a few moments where that would happen, definitely. I don't know. That's kind of basically why I don't really work in the industry anymore. It's a little bit cutthroat, I found. But yeah, there would be elements of that sometimes. It wouldn't happen very often now, to be honest. They would step in if anything was to, if they think something was to happen. But there was a few awkward moments. I will say that.
But you're saying now that people are probably starting to go off the idea of the humiliation circus of shows like X Factor and Big Brother and that. I mean, like when they were starting, when they were happening at first in the mid noughties, maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll go to 15 years ago or so. You know, they were, it was always a big thing, beauty or money or infamy or whatever. And, you know, my granny's dying next week and I want to get her this before she does and all this kind of nonsense. And it had to do something that was different to scripted television, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Like, it offers something different. Like, you know, everyone kind of watched The Sopranos, the likes of that, and that was a big, massive drama in the mid-noughties. And then you had reality TV, which just had a massive insurgence then as well. And yeah, it was a nice kind of flip-flop, I guess. You know, you could watch The Sopranos, you could watch The X Factor, you could watch, you know, the likes of the Irish ones as well. There was, you know, Eurostar and the pop stars arrivals. You know, we wouldn't have Nadine Coyle out of that if that didn't happen. So it did provide a little bit of an escape for us back then.
By the way, we are talking to Owen Cannon and from entertainment.ie. 51552 is our text. So Owen, let's go now to this thing here at what time is it there? Coming up to a quarter to three. The welfare of participants, the bit you were sort of alluding to earlier, it is more at the forefront. Now, we mentioned Little Mix. They've insisted on aftercare for their contestants. Is that becoming commonplace?
Well, I would hope so, definitely. Yeah, I think it should be. Like, even when I was working in TV, there it was beginning to, you know, be an important factor in a person being part of a show. And it's so nice to see Little Mix being so vocal about this, that they were kind of left to the side, really, after the X Factor happened. You know, they weren't provided with the aftercare that they absolutely needed. And it's so nice to see them having this service for people on their show. And it's kind of like a new generation of reality TV.
But I mean, it was an issue that got into the headlines. I mean, from Susan Boyle at the beginning, and people really getting at her from being so brilliant, and, you know, people saying, but you don't look right or something, to Caroline Flack, and we all know what happened there, of the horrors of that. And then in between, two former contestants of Love Island died by suicide a year apart. I mean, like, there's no way you can do it the way it was done, is there?
Absolutely not. Like, producers have to change the way that they have people taking part in these shows. It's absolutely detrimental that they do this. You know, you don't know what that person could do after they leave the show. You know, they have to have someone to be able to talk to, like, even if it's, you know, a week or so afterwards, or even beforehand, which I think is very important as well. You know, because if something happens during the production, let's say, and you need someone there, it's so nice to be able to know that someone is there. Because when the producers have this, like, when the producers are the only ones there, it can be a lot of pressure for them, and, you know, you don't know if they might say the right thing, or it's important to have, like, a kind of a neutral person there in the background.
Okay, well, I'm going to bring you back to the beginning of it, because here's basically Susan Boyle and the audience laughing at Susan Boyle. Are you ready?
All right, what's your name, darling?
My name is Susan Boyle.
Okay, Susan, and where are you from?
I am from Blackburn near Bathgate, West Lothian.
It's a big town.
It's a sort of collection of villages. To think there.
And how old are you, Susan?
I am 47. And that's just one side of me.
Okay, I have no idea how you need to interpret that, but all I'm saying is that this kind of thing isn't going to happen anymore, is what you're probably saying. Little Mix on their programme, The Search. I mean, they are saying that there's going to be a comprehensive aftercare package for everybody to help them cope with life outside whatever it is they're playing and all this kind of thing. But the point about it is they won X Factor and theirs, or I don't know if they won X Factor, but they came out of X Factor and, you know, they did pretty well for themselves. But they had to fend for themselves, didn't they? There was certainly no idea of aftercare. Once you're finished, you're finished.
Yeah, exactly. But they did win the X Factor.
Did they?
Year.
Right, okay.
Yeah, they did. But yeah, even just hearing that Susan Boyle clip there, it's a bit grating, really. Like yeah. The audience kind of turns on her, and then one more second, and they're back in her palm of her hand, kind of. That is kind of a bit frightening, and I hope that wouldn't happen in the future, like whenever the expert does come back or Britain's Got Talent. But yeah, it's such an important thing to have these
days. I bet you I've got one up on you. I saw Little Mix live. It was one of the only. It's one of the only times I've ever gone to a matinee performance. I brought some kids. It was bizarre.
I could do one up on you as well. I got a kiss from one of the girls in Little Mix.
Oh my God! You got a kiss from a Little Mix person? Wow. Okay. Well, that's better than me. I was just there at the gig going, "What am I doing here?" It was in the afternoon of the Olympia, and you come out and it's bright. It's kind of weird. Anyway, shows like The Great British Bake Off, Tidying Up with Marie Kondo, and you know they're huge viral sensations and all the time now we know. They shouldn't necessarily work on TV, but people can't get enough of them. What is it about those shows that people are just craving? Is it just, can you sum it up in the words you said earlier? Is it just, it's fluffy?
Exactly. Like, it's just so soothing to watch. Like, there's nothing better than just sitting down and having, you know, a quiet watch of The Great British Bake Off or, you know, seeing Marie Kondo go through someone's wardrobe. It's just so relaxing and it's not as intense as a reality TV show. Like what we're used to in the past, I guess. And, you know, the likes of Queer Eye as well, when they make over someone with the Fab Five. And it's such a touching story as well sometimes. And yeah. It's just more wholesome, really, I guess.
Yeah, we've had that one on the program before. But, like, do any bad things happen in Bake Off? Do people sabotage somebody's custard or anything like that?
Sometimes I've seen that last week. I know when it started back off, someone knocked over someone else's cakes, which was
drama.
It was drama, yeah. But it's intense in its own kind of little unique way, I guess.
Do you think, in some ways, with all of this and what we played with Susan Boyle there, that really another way of looking at it is that, you know, it might be because real life is ugly enough at the moment that we just need some augmented reality.
Exactly. Yeah, we need some escapism that's just completely away from someone, you know, worrying about the pressure of having to sing and stuff. It's just so nice to watch and escape really for a little bit. And there's so much choice out there these days, like with the likes of Netflix and Amazon Prime and stuff. It's really great and interesting to see where it'll go in the future as well.
And what about then, finally, Filthy Moolah? Because that's often what these things are all about. If it all comes back to money in the end, and it probably does, is this gentler style of reality TV good for ratings and therefore by extension for advertisers?
I think so, yeah. I mean, they are cheaper to make than, you know, a fully fledged drama, let's say, because, you know, they need to pay the actors and the script writers and everything. These are so much more cheaper to make. And I guess with the likes of Bake Off, if it's not broke, don't fix it, you know? Like, they could keep going essentially for years. And Channel 4, like I said before, have kind of given it this new energy in the new series.
Actually, I've just thought about, just speaking of advertising, if it was on BBC First and there was no ads around it, there must be lots of ads on it on Channel 4, are there, all around the programme?
Yeah, there are. It's every 50, you know, the usual break. Actually, I think there's more, even maybe 5 breaks.
Really? And Queer Eye then has lots of seasons and really big, and that's on Netflix.
Yeah, that's on Netflix. There's 5 seasons. There's even, they did a Japanese version, which is, they went to Japan and did other people's makeovers. And I think they're coming back for a 6th season. And like, even the presenters, they've become such influential people around the world as well, which is, you know, great for that community as well, the LGBTQ community. And it's kind of given people a voice as well.
Right, indeed. Okay, well then, I think the question is reality TV getting kinder? The answer seems to be yes, it is. Owen Cannon from entertainment.ie, go on yourself, Owen. Thanks a million.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.